This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79 and 46 through 49. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. Mary said, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Has so much power that even a secular song can become sacred when God moves in it. There is such power in music. And we really need to understand that gift of music. Music has the power to help us remember. It has the power to make us laugh, to cry, to fill our arms with goosebumps, and to vibrate us up out of the seat when its power is unleashed. Music is transcendent. And maybe, just maybe, that is why Luke's gospel has so much singing in his Christmas story. We've been working our way through the Advent season using a different gospel story each Sunday, and today is everyone's favorite. We love Luke's Christmas story because it's got the stuff we love in it. It's got the good stuff. It has the angels singing up in a night sky with the star over Bethlehem. It has the shepherds tending their flock in the field at night. And, of course, it has Joseph and Mary and that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We love Luke's Christmas story so much. But sometimes we become so focused on the end of it that we forget the power of the beginning. And so there are two songs this morning that we need to think about, songs that make a really big difference in our life 2,000 years later. Now, in our first song, we hear Zechariah singing, and he's not the guy you expect to burst into song. Zechariah is a priest, a holy man, the one who intercedes for the people and stands between them and God. Zechariah lives south of Jerusalem in one of the small villages. Most of the priests did not live in the city because they were not called to work in the temple each and every day. In fact, they were divided into sections, into divisions, and they would probably be called to serve in the temple maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times a year. But remember, Zacharias was a holy man, a respected man. He was a descendant of the tribe of Levi. You had to be a priest. But if you married a woman who was from that same tribe, you were doubly blessed. And his wife Elizabeth was from that tribe. On the outside, their lives looked so perfect. In their 60s, they had lived a righteous life, a godly life. Their life looked very good on the outside, much like our lives do as well. But inside their hearts, there was so much pain and so much sorrow. You see, Elizabeth was barren, and they never had that longed-for child. Now remember, in those days, if a woman could not have a child, it was always her fault. And in those days, if something bad happened in your life, like an inability to bear a child, then it meant that there was some secret sin that no one knew of. And so there was this deep shadow over their lives, the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he did what all of us do when we're faced with those broken places in our lives and in our hearts. He just kept going. One foot in front of the other. Isn't that what we all do? Pretending life is okay, pretending everything is fine, knowing that this is not the life you dreamed of, knowing this is not the life you deserved. We have a lot in common with that ancient priest, Zechariah. But then it happened, the absolute best day of his life. He was called up to Jerusalem, and this time he actually got to light the incense on the altar in the most holy place in the temple. It was such a great honor that a priest was only allowed to do that once in his life. And Zechariah went to Jerusalem knowing this would be the most astonishing, transformational day of his life. And it was, but not for the reason he expected. He's inside this holy place, minding his own business, doing his job, just like you and I do, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared before him, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said to him what the angel says to all of us when they appear to a person in Holy Scripture. What do the angels always say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The angel had astonishing news for Zechariah. He said to him, Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth will become pregnant and bear you a son, and you will name him John. And what does our holy man do? What does our righteous man do? What does a priest whose job is to serve God, what does he do? He looks straight at the angel and he says, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My wife and I are far too old to have children, and even when we were young, we could not have children." Isn't it fascinating that a man whose function in life was to serve God could not believe the message of an angel? But before we take the moral high ground this morning, let's think for a minute. We're all righteous people. We're all holy people. We're all here in church on this third Sunday of Advent on a very cold morning when we could be home in bed reading the newspaper and drinking coffee. So you have to wonder, would we have been any different? Would we have believed extraordinary news from an angel? You know, we say nothing is impossible with God, but would we live that out? Zechariah could not do that. And because he questioned the angel, because he would not believe, the angel cursed him with silence. The angel told him, "You will not speak until that child is born." He struck dumb. Can you imagine a minister who cannot talk? A preacher who cannot preach? He couldn't function. He couldn't do any of his duties. So what does Zechariah do for the next 9 months? Well, Scripture is silent on that point, but I have to imagine that because he could not speak, he listened a whole lot more. Because he could not serve in the temple, he spent a lot more time at home. Because his life was no longer hectic and chaotic and busy, that has a familiar sound to it, doesn't it? I suspect that he paid more attention to the small joys around him. The blue of the sky, the feel of the wind on his face, the smell of his favorite meal being cooked, and most of all, watching his wife's belly swell with new life. You see, you thought it was a curse to be struck silent, but sometimes a curse can turn into a blessing. And that's exactly what happened with Zechariah. The time comes for the baby to be born, and it is a boy. And Elizabeth says, "We will call him John." And all of her friends and all of her neighbors and all of her family says, No. You can't do that. You know how it works. We always call the firstborn son after his father. He needs to be called Zechariah Jr. And then Zechariah writes on a slate, his name is John. And the moment he does that, his voice is restored. You see, the silence was not a curse. It was a blessing for Zechariah because it forced him to slow down and to pay attention and to get ready for the birth of this totally amazing, unexpected child. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little bit like Advent to me. So I have to ask this question this morning. Is there any silence in your life anywhere? I know there's not much in mine. I'm not even sure it ever happens unless, of course, I'm asleep. And even then, I have a feeling my brain is still working. That's part of what we're called to do, you know, during this season, to be silent, to listen to the voice of the angel who brings us a message from God. And if we are, perhaps we too could be transformed as Zechariah was transformed. When he saw that son, he did the most extraordinary thing. He began to sing a song. Listen to just a few of the words. "You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, before you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace." Zechariah had been blessed with this extraordinary gift of a son that he never expected. But you see, in the Bible, we're never just blessed for ourselves. We're also blessed to be a blessing for others. And so he sings this song of his child, this John, this prophet, who will prepare the way of the Lord. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing song, but it's not the only song we've got this morning. And this one is much more familiar. This character is much more familiar for us this morning. We hear of Mary, and the angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you are to bear the Holy Child. And Mary says, excuse me, I don't see how this can happen. I am not married. I cannot bear any child. Now, this time, the angel does not punish Mary with silence. Perhaps he understood that her question came out of confusion, not disbelief. Because never forget, Mary was probably 13 years old, 14 at the very most. And of course, never forget, she was the most unlikely choice imaginable to bear a holy child. She was poor. She was uneducated. She had nothing. And yet God chose her. The angel continues to speak to Mary, and Mary listens very carefully. And finally, at the end, Mary accepts the news. And she says, may it be as God wills. And then she begins to sing a song with two parts. The first part of the song is very important because she's singing of how God has blessed her. And Mary said, with all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Mary sings a song about how God has blessed her, but just a little bit later, she is told that a sword will pierce her heart. And that child that she awaits, the one whose birth that we await, that child will grow up to turn this world upside down, and Mary will stand at the foot of the cross and watch him die. Yet she still sings a song of how God has blessed her. But we are never just blessed for our own sakes. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so Mary sings a second part of his song, a song that we often overlook, and we shouldn't. If you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to know why Christ came to this planet, listen to the words of Mary's song. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honor him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever. Mary receives the most extraordinary news imaginable, and yet she believes. So what do we believe today? Do we believe in this extraordinary news? Do we believe that the coming of this baby can change us and change this world? That's an important question to be asking during Advent. But the second part of Mary's song reminds us of the kind of God that we serve, a God who feeds the hungry and gives sight to the blind and frees the captives and always hangs out with the wrong kind of people, the least and the last and the lost. Those who are on the margins of society, those are the ones who fall through the cracks. We say we believe in the power of Christ, but do we actually believe that power can change us and our world and show that belief, not just with our words, but with our actions? So my question for you this morning is to think for just a moment how God has blessed you. Because even in the midst of the hurt and the pain and the disappointment in our lives, there are blessings. And all those blessings come from God. So think for a moment, how has God blessed you? But then remember, we are called to be a blessing to others. And what does that look like on this third Sunday of Advent. There's a new show streaming on Netflix, and I highly recommend it. It's called 3%. It's very interesting. It's a show made in Brazil. It's done in Spanish, so unless you speak Spanish, you have to read the subtitles, but that's okay. The story is so compelling, you can stay right with it. Now, the premise of the story is very simple. It is a near future when things have gone very, very wrong in this country. The country is divided into two sections. The inland, where 97% of the people live, is a brutal place to live. There is very little food. There is very little hope. There is pain. There is suffering all around. 97% of the people live this life with no hope to be seen. But if they are lucky enough to survive to the age of 20, they have a chance. They have a chance. Everyone at the age of 20 has a chance to go through a series of tests that they call the process. And if you pass every single test, and only 3% will pass those tests, then you no longer have to live in a place where there is no hope. You live to move to an island off the shore where there is food for all and hope for all and a life that is filled with beauty and promise. But here's the interesting thing. As they move through the process, as they move through those tests, they will do anything to win. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will murder to be part of the 3%. But here's the thing. We are not the 3%. God has called us and given us blessings so that we might be a blessing to others. And that means we have to go where God already is, where we feed the hungry and help the sick and give hope to the hopeless in every way that we can, on every day that we can. You see, my friends, today God has given us a job to do. We are to go where He is, and we are to help Him sing His song of hope and peace and love. May we do that in the name of the baby whose birth we anticipate. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank You for the songs of Zechariah and of Mary that remind us that they are always songs of transformation and songs of hope. We also ask You to put a song in our own hearts, a song that will reflect Your hope, Your peace, Your love. We pray these things in the most blessed name of the Christ child, whose name is Jesus. Amen.